Welcome to Urban Life's audio messages. Do you ever feel like you need courage to face the future? In this series, Portraits of Courage, we take a look at changed lives whose futures were framed by great fortitude, even in trials and suffering. We trust that you encounter Christ's life-changing power.
2002, I was in grade 11. I went on a rugby tour to Argentina. Okay, that place was amazing. We got to go play rugby in Argentina and Uruguay, or they say Uruguay. That's how they kind of roll. But that's we went to go play rugby there, and it was amazing. But it was a culture shock, okay? Going to another nation, going to a completely different culture like Argentina, it is a completely different culture. And the Argentinians have this weird little green juice, tea stuff they walk around. I don't know if you've been to Argentina, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, it's this little flask. They carry a little flask around with boiling water, and then they got this like weird mug thing that they put green stuff in, and they got this metal straw they drink out of. And as they drink, it's like this bitter green tea. I don't know what it is, but every little Argentinian's cruising around with their flask and their kind of thing, and their little green tea thing. And it's a completely different culture. I remember going there and just, the one thing about Argentinians that really confuses me, if you watch rugby and you've watched the Argentinians play, notice that whenever an Argentinian runs onto the rugby field, his socks are down. I don't know if anyone else has noticed that, but it's the same. It's exactly the same when you go play club rugby there. You go play club rugby and they all just, us South Africans, we pride ourselves and we kind of like all like pull up our socks and we kind of like all nice and neat. And the crazy thing was to raise money, as a school, we had a wax-a-thon. So all the rugby boys came in their rugby shorts, and people could pay like $100 for a thing of wax, and they could stick it on your leg and wax it. So our whole rugby team went to Argentina with cleanly shaven legs. And the Argentinians are the most hairy dudes you'll ever see. So there they are, socks down, just hair everywhere. They're 16 and they got beards. And here's us South Africans coming, socks up, cleanly shaven legs, kind of all pretty boys, let's go play some rugby. So that's how we roll, that's how we just rock up and tune the Argentinians. We won one game out of six, so we did do pretty good. And that was this particular game was on national TV. I don't know why we got on national TV. There's just some news station rocked up and started filming our game. And I was the kicker for the team. And there's the one kick I took that was on national TV in Argentina. I remember kicking it from the corner. I kicked it and it bounced on the post and went over on national TV. And that was amazing for me. But the thing is about Argentina, it's not only the way they dress, the way they talk, drinking their funny green stuff, pulling their socks down. It's not just the way they dress. It's every culture has got a certain belief system. And within every culture, there's little subcultures, and all those subcultures have got a belief system, a way that you live out your life. And even here in South Africa, I love our nation. It's just so diverse, so many different cultures, so many subcultures within cultures and little subcultures within a subculture. It's just so diverse and beautiful. But the thing about a culture is that every culture has got a belief system, the way in which we conduct ourselves, the way in which we live life. So if you think about it, the way in which I love my wife, and the way that I treat her, the way I do business, the way I view relationships, the way I view my interaction with other people, the way I view society is determined by the cultural lenses that I carry. And it's easy to point out. You cannot miss a Joburg jock. Yeah, brother, let's go to the gym, huh? Yeah, bro, let's go. Hey, we're going to Four Ways. They hang out there, Four Ways area. They go to Saints. You go to the Saints clothing store, the uniform shop, and they got those jock glasses there. They sell them there, actually. Not quite, but you can't miss them. And you can't miss that guy wearing, I'm not dissing anyone, it's just observation. That guy with his two-tone shirt and his Crocs. You know that guy, that Afrikaans dude, rocking up, two-tone shirt, Crocs. That's how he rolls. It's just, that's culture. It's just so diverse. But within the diversity of the culture, there's a belief system, there's a way of living, the way that we do life. And we're in a series called Portraits of Courage. We're looking at a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. Now, we need to understand that this church was in the city of Philippi, which was a Roman colony. And to be a Roman citizen, you prized, it was something of honor. You think the Americans are kind of like, raw, 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 I'm American. They're very patriotic. The Romans were just like that. If you were born as a Roman citizen, you prided yourself in being part of that culture. And so Paul is writing into this culture. He's writing into a church that is living out their walk with God, living out their life in a very strong Roman culture. And the thing is, the amazing thing about the way the Romans did it, when they would conquer, their military strategy would be, they would send in the army and they would go conquer a city, they would overthrow the city, they would take over the leadership of the city and kind of rule over the city. And then what they would do, they would send in what they called apostles. Okay, that's where the church got their word. We've given it a different spiritual significance, but the Romans used to send in apostles, and the apostles would go and teach those cities that had been conquered the Roman culture. They would go and set the culture because they believed, they understood that if we conquer a city and we change the culture within the city, they will stay faithful to Rome and to Caesar and will not try and rebel because we will try and change the very culture of that city. So here were these cities that were being influenced by the Roman culture. And so Paul is writing into that, writing into followers of Christ. He's writing to encourage them, to remind them that even though they may be Roman citizens and they may be living in a Roman culture, that they must never forget that they are citizens of heaven. They live by a different culture. And this letter that he writes to the book, or this letter that he writes to the church, is just full of reminders of calling the followers of Christ back to following the culture of heaven, and no longer living as citizens of Rome, but living as citizens of heaven. And Paul writes to them in 1 Philippians 1:27, he says, above all. So now we know when Paul says that, he's being serious. He says, this is like of high importance. This is something that you need to really think about if you're a follower of Christ. He says, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news, or that is also the word gospel, about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. And if you weren't here last week, Craig preached a phenomenal message just opening this word gospel to us as a church. And his definition of the word gospel is a good, life-giving message that attaches itself to you. It leads you and brings you by herding you to a point or a destination, which is Christ. So the gospel message, the message that we as followers of Christ, we live by, the message that we proclaim, is not just a new set of rules. I remember chatting to some guys, I went into Midrand High, and I said to them, what is the purpose of a follower, what is the purpose of a Christian? And 90% of them said, it's to follow the Ten Commandments. And that is not at all the role of a Christian. The role, we are followers of Christ, follow and being changed by the gospel message, the message of Christ. It's a message that attaches itself to us. It's a message that has dynamic, explosive power that comes inside of us and transforms our inner being. And so Paul is saying, remember, we are citizens of heaven. Our culture is heavenly. We must be faithful in being good citizens of Rome and do that kind of that. But ultimately, our citizenship is in heaven. We have a different passport. Our culture is determined by heaven. The life that we live is heavenly. And so, the question may be, and Paul goes on to answer this question, the question is, so what is that culture? How does it look? What example do we follow? Because as a South African, I just got the South African culture from following my parents and all those around me. I just looked at everybody else and I picked up their culture. I just say now and lekker and braai and all those lekker things. I just say it because I just learned it from everybody around me, because that's how we learn the culture. And if I were to move to Argentina, which I hope I never have to do, Except they do have good steak there. That's the one good thing about Argentina. If I would move to Argentina, how would I become an Argentinian? What would be the best way for me to learn the culture and to become an Argentinian? It would be to move in and live with an Argentinian family and start living like them, talking like them, eating like them, dancing like them, doing everything like them so I could become like that culture. And that's what Paul does. He says, you guys, he's reminding the church that even though you live within the Roman culture, even though you live within the citizenship of a Roman colony, you are citizens of heaven, and the example we follow is a different example. And this is how he goes. He says, therefore, if there you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort of his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. He's just sharing some of the privileges of being a citizen of heaven. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. So he's teaching us, he's showing us that this is the way, this is the culture, this is the new culture that we live by. It's one of humility. It's one of honoring others. It's one of looking to the interests of others above ours. He says, as a citizen of heaven, we no longer live for our own interests. We don't live for our world, but we live for the interests of others. Not looking at our own interests, but each to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. There's our example. He says, as a citizen of heaven, as those living in the culture of heaven, we have a new example. We no longer follow Caesar. We no longer follow the culture and the dude next door. We don't no longer model our lives after the culture of this world that we live in. He says that we model our lives and we shape our lives and our decisions and our culture around that of Christ. He says he is our ultimate example. And he goes on, he says, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God, something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So this is, he's saying, he's reminding the church, he's reminding those who are followers of Christ, he's saying that we are citizens of heaven, we live out our lives in a different culture, but we are not of this world, we are of a different world, we are of a different citizenship, and therefore we have a new example, and that is the example of Christ. And this for me is so important because every one of us are influenced by the culture we live in. We are influenced by the culture we are brought up in. We are influenced by the culture of the world around us. But we need to be looking to Christ as our ultimate example. So if you're a husband here tonight, this morning, if you're a husband, who do you follow? Do you follow the example of your father? He may have been a good father than you should. But if he was a terrible husband, or the guy next door, you know that guy who screams at his wife all the time? Do you follow his example? Or just the whole bunch of men who just kind of never love their wives and kind of are just sitting in the pubs and kind of like leaving their wives to... Do we follow that? That's a culture that we live in. Or kind of a strong culture where women are looked down on. We do not respect women. Women have no say because that's the culture I was brought up in. Or do we follow the example of Christ? And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, remember men, we follow the example of Christ. What is that? He says, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Serve her. Love her. Lavish your love upon your wife. She needs to feel like the most precious person in this whole world. Because that's what Christ does for his church. So what example do we follow? As parents, do you follow the latest blog of just don't do this, don't do this, you can't do this? Or do you follow the example set in Scripture of discipline, of love, of sacrifice, of giving of yourself to bring up your children in the ways of God? Or do you just run after what my culture says? My culture says this, my culture says this, the culture of this day says this. Do we just run after that, or do we follow the example of Christ? Now, I believe that within every culture and within every subculture, there is something beautiful and something to celebrate. So what Paul is not saying is, say, chuck your culture out the window and become a kumbooks kind of Christian where we all just stick little hearts on our walls and that's what it means to be a Christian. No, he's not saying that. Please save me. But he's saying, because I believe that within every culture, even in this room, there's a diversity of culture. There's something beautiful in it. But the core beliefs do not come from our culture. Our core beliefs come from Christ, the example set by Christ. The kingdom culture, there's a new culture that we live by. And that's what he's saying, that hey, you can enjoy being a Roman citizen. Hey, there's a whole bunch of privileges, but before you are a Roman citizen, you are a citizen of heaven. And that's the beautiful thing. That's the thing that we follow as followers of Christ. I'm a fun sail. I was born in Pretoria. I support the Blue Bulls, which is very heavenly. And I like my red meat. I live off red meat. And I'm a South African. I love the bush. Like, that's me. And I'm going to enjoy it that way. And I'm going to live life and I'm going to continue enjoying the Blue Bulls. But ultimately, deep down inside, my first culture is, I'm not going to be like every Afrikaans man. He's a bit hard and unemotional and sometimes look down on women. I'm going to take my cue of Christ. I'm going to take my cue of Christ on the way I love my wife. The way I one day will look after and parent my kids. The way that you do business. Businessmen, do you just follow, oh, everybody's corrupt? Everybody does kind of under the counter deal every now and again. Come on, that's just the norm of our culture. Do we follow that culture or do we say, no, we're following the example of Christ, of one of integrity, one of honor, one of putting Christ first, putting God first and shining in our culture like that. And that's what he's drawing us to. That's what he's calling us to. That is, Paul is reminding us that we have a new example. Because as Roman citizens, they would follow the example of Caesar. And Paul's saying, no, we follow the example of Christ. In your relationships, single people, do you follow the culture of the world which says, let me just experiment with my sexuality. Let me just kind of sleep with whoever, because you have to test drive. Until that's what our culture says. You need to find the right person. How can you marry somebody you haven't slept with? Because you need to know how you guys are going to roll for the rest of your life. That's what our culture says. That's what it teaches. And that actually brings you into bondage. It brings you away from the freedom of Christ. And actually, Paul is saying, we follow the way of Christ, which says, I'm going to honor God. And God has given me this incredible gift of sex, which is amazing, within marriage. It's a beautiful gift. But we follow the example of Christ. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to align my heart, the culture of the kingdom of God. That's who I take my cue of. Not the artists on MTV and on the radio and those who are within my school and workplace. I do not follow their example. I follow the example of Christ, because in that I will live as a citizen of heaven. I'll bring honor to God and I'll walk in the freedom that Christ has purchased for me. That's a beautiful thing. Because Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So the way in which we walk is Christ. The life which we walk is Christ. The truth we follow is Christ. The truth and the way that we live is Christ. That is the example that Paul brings to us. And now, this is where it gets awesome. Because the bar has just been set up. Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed that. I've just said to you, you need to be like Jesus. That's what Paul says. It's like, Caesar, those oaks around you, don't follow them. Be like Jesus. And if you just sit back, Jesus was perfect. Jesus never sinned. Jesus was God. He was holy. And now that's where I start getting nervous, thinking, well, if that's the example, I'm screwed. I am like so far from being like Jesus. And that's why, and so Paul is saying that this is the example. This is who we are to be like. And I'm thinking, whew, I'm far from that. But wait, there's more. Therefore, verse 12, dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God, this is it, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Here's another standard of Christ. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Okay, that, I think we all missed that one. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. And this is, I love this. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Then you will shine like them, among them like stars in the sky. So Paul, there's a whole lot going on there. And one of the things he says the Roman culture, the culture that you are living in, it's crooked and warped. He says it's not honoring of God, it's crooked and warped. But he says that when you follow the example of Christ, you'll become what? Like stars shining in the sky. When can you see a star? When there is darkness in the sky. Because there's stars right now, but you just can't see them because the sun's so bright. And I love that. That you and I, as followers of Christ, are called to shine like stars in the dark and crooked culture that we live in. And I want to celebrate. I'm not saying everything about our culture is crooked and warped. There's some beautiful things about our culture. But there's a deep darkness, a brokenness about our culture, about the way that we live. And that we are called to not be self-righteous, judgmental people out there kind of pointing out everyone's faults, but actually the way we live by not grumbling, by not arguing, by following the example of Christ, when we live like that, our lives will shine like stars in the sky. But he does say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He's not saying that salvation comes through your hard work. Okay, salvation is a gift of God. Your faith, this is not when he says Christ is an example, that's not a new list of things to follow to see whether you're a good or bad Christian. Like, dang it, I stuffed up again. It's not that. He's saying that we follow Christ. Salvation is a gift from God. If you've put your faith in Christ, you are righteous in the eyes of God. You are perfect already in the eyes of God. And that had nothing to do with you, because what we deserve, it says, the wages of sin is death. What we deserve is death. But the gift of God is free, eternal life and justification made right with God in Christ. And he says, in that place, work it out with fear and trembling. And he goes on to say, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And here's this is the point, is we work out what God works in. We can only work out, we can only live out what God has worked into us. An example I want to use is, if I have a big bowl now and I chuck some flour in it, I chuck some water in it, chuck some salt in it, and I mix it up and I need that dough, and I knead it as hard as I can. I knead it, I'm sweating, I'm doing everything, and I put it in the sun, I put a little oil on it and plastic over it so it can rise nicely. And I can sit there and I can come and look at that dough and I can be like, grow, grow, grow. Come on, you can do it. Do better, do better. Try harder, pray more, go to church more, give more money. Try harder, come on, be a better person. Come on, you can do it in your own strength. Come on, dough. The dough's just going to lie there flat. Nothing's going to happen. It's the same with our Christian life. We think that, yes, Christ, that's our example. So I'm just going to try harder, be more like Jesus. I'm going to be more like Jesus. I'm going to be more like Jesus, be more like Jesus, be more like Jesus. And you haven't not moved. And the way that dough grows is a key ingredient. If you just put some yeast in there, you massage it in, it starts growing. And that's what the gospel is. It's a good message. It's a good life-giving message. When it is worked into you, when it is kneaded into your heart, kneaded into every fiber of your being, it causes growth. It brings life. To follow the example of Christ, we need the power of Christ. To live a life worthy of the gospel, we need the gospel worked into us. Christianity isn't about attaining to a new level of perfection. It's about surrender to Christ and faith in Christ, faith in the power of the gospel. Because when I believe in the gospel, when I believe in what Christ can do, and I surrender my heart to Him and He works the gospel into my heart, I become a new creation. I become like Christ. So I wonder, if you're a guest with us and you're still kind of checking Jesus out, you don't believe what we believe, you're off the hook. God does not expect you to be like Jesus. Okay? He doesn't expect anything from you. So I want to say to you, if you're a follower of Christ, He calls us to be like Christ. But He knows that the only way that we can do it is through the gospel working in and through us. So we don't become more like Jesus. I'm going to be really a good person. Then maybe I'll get saved because of what I've done. But actually, I realize I'm a sinner. I surrender to Christ. I ask Him to forgive me. I put my faith in what Christ has done. And in that moment, I become a citizen of heaven. And now, I no longer follow the culture of this world. I follow the culture of Christ, the culture of the kingdom of God. And the only way to do that is if daily I allow God to work into me. And I think there's a key in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. So how do we live this out practically? Number one, look to Jesus as your example. I want to call you in your parenting, in your dealings of business, in your relationships, in your sexuality, in your husband and wifing, in everything, the way you interact with other human beings. Who is your example? What example do you follow? Do you follow the example of just everyone around me? Well, this is what everybody does. Or do you follow the example of Christ? And we come back to, how do we deal with one another in the church? He says, have the same heart, have the same mind. Do everything, not with your own interest in mind, with the interest of others. We serve with humility and honor. We serve one another. That is the culture of Christ. So that's the first thing, is make sure that you're looking at Christ for your example. But then Jesus, number two, Jesus taught us to pray this daily prayer. He says to His disciples, therefore, this is how you pray. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. This is a prayer that we pray daily. He says, give us our daily bread. This is a prayer. He says, I want you guys to pray this daily. And just before that, He says, your kingdom come, the rule of God, the citizenship of heaven, the way of God, the kingdom of God, the power of God, this life-giving gospel. He says, that life-giving gospel, that power of God, let it come. Let your will be done. The example of Christ. He says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is earth? It's my everyday life. It's my husbanding, it's my friending, it's my parenting, it's my co-working, it's me being a person. He says, let heaven come to earth. What is in heaven? Christ is seated on the right hand of the Father. It's filled with worship, it's filled with honor, it's filled with the power of heaven. This is something Jesus says to us, pray every day. And this is where I'm calling you. If you're a follower of Christ, I want to say to you, let's pray this prayer every day. Let's pray every day. Heaven come to earth. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'll give you a practical example, just to show you how far I am away from being like Jesus. I'm on a journey. I'm heading in the right direction, but I've still got a long way to go. A few weeks ago, it's just under pressure. You know, like when you get there, it's just like decisions to be made and challenges and life's tough and you're busy in meetings and it's just like you feel like you just get squashed and you're irritable. I don't know if you like that. Okay, I'm like that. I get like that. I was just feeling. We were at home, me and Catherine, and we were just discussing, talking through things that I just got angry. I snapped and I shouted at my wife. I screamed at her. I walked upstairs and I slammed the door. I was a real donkey. And what could I do? What? How do I respond in that moment? Do I feel like, oh, I'm such a bad Christian. I'm such a failure. Or do I just look at the dude next door and like he screams at his wife? The other dude I saw the other day, I was on holiday and there was some dude screaming for his wife for 3 hours. I only did it for like 5 minutes. I'm not that bad. Is that what we do? Do we just say, no, it's okay. Everyone does it. Or do I look at Christ? I'm no longer following the culture of this world. I look at Christ. Christ is slow to anger. He's abounding in love. He's steadfast. He lavishes love upon his wife, his bride, his church. That's my example, friends. That I fall short, yes. So what do? Do I go down there and be like, oh, I need to be a better man? No, I get on my knees and just say, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for what I've done. I've dishonored you and I've dishonored my wife. Would heaven come to earth now? I need the gospel, Jesus. I need the gospel to change me. I need to become a less angry man. I need to become more patient, Jesus. Walk down the stairs, go to my wife and say, Catherine, would you forgive me? The things I said to you, you do not deserve that. You are beautiful. You're precious. No one should ever speak to you like that. And if anyone does, I'll punch them in the face. Because that's what Jesus would do. That's what we do. And I say to her, forgive me. And then I say, can you pray with me? And we pray and say, Jesus, forgive me. Come and let your grace, let your kingdom come. Let your power come into my life. Single people, if you're struggling with sexuality and lust and all those things, married people as well, because I know a lot of married people still look at porn and struggle with those things. What do? Do you just beat yourself up and or just say, well, the rest of my culture does it, so it's fine? Or do you look at Christ, the pure, perfect Son of God? Say, that's what I'm aiming for. And you get on your knees and say, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for the lust in my heart. Would you come with your gospel and change me? Change me to be like you, Jesus. And then when you get up in the morning, you say, Jesus, help me today to not be overcome with lust, but to be drawn by love. Or if you are tempted in business to make just dishonest business deals, what do? Well, everyone does it. Or do you go every day, get on your knees before you get to work and say, Jesus, let heaven come to earth. Let the integrity of heaven, let the power of heaven, let the honor of heaven come and be seen through my life so that I can shine like a star in this dark and crooked world. That's what we call to, friends. And that's what I want to encourage you. I want to call you to. Let us know that our example is Christ. He's the one that we follow. He's the example that we follow. He's the one that we aim at with everything in our lives. And the only way that we can do it is if the gospel is massaged, this life-giving message is massaged into our hearts on a daily basis. And if you are this morning, you are not a follower of Christ. God does not expect you to do anything, but He is calling you, He's drawing you. He wants to be in a relationship with you. He doesn't want you to tick off a whole bunch of things on a list and say, okay, now I'm good enough. Maybe God will love me. He just wants you to open your heart and your arms to Him and just embrace Him. Surrender all to Him. If we can just bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here this morning and you have never put your faith in Christ, you've never surrendered your life to Christ, you've never prayed a prayer to say, Jesus, would you become my Lord and Savior? I want to give you an opportunity this morning for you to put your faith in Christ, for you to become a citizen of heaven. And it's through faith. It's through belief in what Christ has done. So I'm going to count to three, and if that's you, I want you to put up your hand. 1, 2, 3. Is there anybody here? I just want to pray for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are citizens of heaven. Thank you for the joy of being a citizen of heaven. Thank you that being a citizen of heaven, there are so many privileges. the joy of knowing you, the joy of having eternal hope, the wonder of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that there is so much life in that, Lord. Thank you that you have given us this high calling of being children of God, shining as stars in this world. Would you, Holy Spirit, empower us and change us and help us to live radical Christian lives. Lives that honor Jesus, lives that give everything to you. Would you teach us to pray daily, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Would you teach us daily to come before you, Lord, and let that reality become our reality. The reality of heaven become the reality of our lives here on earth. God, I just pray right now that you lift off all shame, all guilt off everyone's shoulders, Lord, and draw us to the foot of the cross. Draw us to Christ, that we may look at you and just say, Jesus, would you change me? Would you empower me to be more like you, Lord?
For more resources, you can visit our website or our Vimeo channel.